Lord, we do put our trust and hope in you. You are our greatest joy. We are thankful, Lord, that you call us friend, that we have a foundation in you that's firm beneath our feet. It's not shifting sand. It's the foundation of the gospel, of truth, of things that happened in history, and that you are alive today, reigning in heaven. And you're reigning over all of our circumstances, things that we've experienced this past week that have, Lord, we've been tempted to be shaken by. Lord, whether it's news that we receive from a doctor or whether it's relationships that have surprised us and conversations, God, that just kind of maybe turned a corner and caused us to kind of rethink things. God, in the midst of all the uncertainty that we face in this life, God, there's a foundation because of you. You are a rock. You are the one that holds true. You promise to never leave us nor forsake us. And so you're with us in all that we face. And so we just give you praise, God, in this moment, at this time, to remind ourselves, God, that you're there and that we can call upon you anytime. We also give you praise, God, that we have a church family, Lord, people in our life that care for us and surround us and support us and in these uncertain or difficult times and challenges that we face in life. And so, God, we thank you for brothers and sisters who weep with those who weep, who mourn with those who mourn, who rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We just give you praise, God, for people that you've placed and intersected our lives that love us, care for us, and Lord, they show us your love in tangible ways through their hands and feet and service. And we also give you praise, God, for the purposes, the adventure and journey and the mission that you have for our lives. Lord, every single day is an opportunity to share the love and light of Jesus Christ in our life. And so we thank you for that opportunity to participate with you in your kingdom work, that you've given us gifts and talents and all these things, God, and you, the purpose, Lord, that you have is to just use our what you've given to us. And so help us, Lord, to see those opportunities, to take advantage of them. Give us a holy boldness and courage and confidence that comes from you and your Spirit, and to share the things that you've given to us, the way that you've been generous towards us, that we would have compassion and be generous towards others. God, thank you again for this time, for this opportunity that we have to come to you and your word and learn, but also share and celebrate, God, the ways that you're working all throughout our church today. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. This past week, our girls are involved in the American Heritage Girls that is hosted here at our church. And this past week for American Heritage Girls, they had what is called a bridging ceremony. A bridging ceremony. And a bridging ceremony is essentially kind of what I've kind of gleaned is that children have kind of finished and completed one session, one aspect of the troop life. And they're bridging into a new season, a new journey, kind of a new growth opportunity. And in the American Heritage Girls, they earn these badges and things. But you have to first be in the troop before you can earn a badge. You can't earn a badge before and not be in the troop. Like, then it just doesn't make sense, right? And so nobody just goes around and says, look at my badges, and like, what are they for? I don't really know. Like, that doesn't make sense, right? And so they're received into the troop, and once they're part of the troop, then they work together with their leaders, and they do projects and tasks and service and learning and growth, and they have to repeat things. And so they earn badges through their participation with their troop. And once they complete those badges, then they have opportunities to go through kind of this journey or bridge and ceremonies that they do. And so I kind of think about that that's true for the Christian life, is that the good works, the good deeds that we do in our life, the words, the witness that we have, that comes and starts with receiving grace from God. We can do those good deeds and good works, but at the end, it doesn't. We'll have nothing to show for it if we don't have a relationship with Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk just briefly, I mean really briefly. You're like, why can't you do that every week? Well, that's just a pastor's job, all right? So this morning, I just want to point you to a text this morning. Read a few verses in Titus chapter 2 and just share a few quick thoughts. And then I want to open it up where the sermon kind of shifts from me to you and to us together and what God is doing in our lives. And so look with me this morning, Titus chapter 2. We're looking at verses 11 through 14 this morning. We've been working our way through these few books of the Bible, previous right before Titus is 1st and 2nd Timothy. And so we've been working our way through these books pretty much chapter by chapter. Last week we started the book of Titus, and we actually started with chapter 3, and we're kind of working our way backwards through this book of Titus a little differently here. But we're at Titus chapter 2. I'm trying to stall for you to find it, okay? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I'll pick up there. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. In this passage, we see that it's the grace of God that appears and brings salvation for all kinds of people. And I love that because it reminds us that the gospel is God appearing. The gospel is God descending and showing up and bringing salvation from his hands. It's not about us climbing the ladder to heaven, right? That's what all sorts of religions and teachers and all these different thing worldviews out there try to do, is that you do these things and you're climbing the ladder, right? But the ladder just seems, there's no destination. Like you keep going and going and going, or one of the rings in the ladder kind of falls and breaks, and then you kind of fall down and you just keep climbing and climbing and climbing. But salvation, what makes Christianity different is that salvation isn't about you climbing the ladder, but it's about God coming down. The grace of God has appeared. It's appeared in a person. Christianity, it's not abstract. It's not this idea. Christianity is about a person. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. He has appeared and he's brought salvation. He's brought grace to us. It says it's for all people. The idea is it's for all kinds of prayer. Same thing happened in 1 Timothy 2 where it says that we should be praying for people. It says pray for all people. The idea is we should pray for all kinds of people. We should pray for kings who are in authority, those who are in authority. We should pray for our neighbors. We should pray for all kinds of people. That's the same idea here. Salvation has appeared to all kinds of people. All kinds of people, right? Not just that people maybe that look like you may not have the same type of, share the same and speak the same type of language as you, but salvation is available for all kinds of people. And that's the beauty of Christianity. That's the beauty of the gospel, that God's love, he wants to be known to every single person. Every single person has an opportunity. And for those who don't, it's our job as Christians to make that happen. Like those, one person said, I believe it was Carl Henry said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. So think about that. So we have a job to do. We have a mission, right? And so the gospel, the grace of God has appeared. And it trains us for things. We're going to look at this more in 2 weeks. We're going to look and talk a little bit more about this and about the things going on in the earlier of the chapter, in chapter 2. So we're going to come back to these ideas. But training us to grow Christ into Christ's likeness. I love this, is that that Christianity, it's like once you have it, you haven't completed it yet. You haven't just arrived and say, look at me, look at the salvation I have. You're still in a training process to learn to renounce ungodliness, to say no to worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, godly life in this present age. And we're waiting for the blessed hope. In other words, we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. That's what the blessed hope is. The return, the reappearing of Jesus Christ. He's appeared once, but he's going to reappear again. And when the first time he brought salvation, the second time he's going to bring judgment, right? And so we're waiting for that. And so we can't come and just say, here, look at our good works when he appears again, because that's going to be meaningless. But we come and we say, God, I've relied on your grace, your salvation. Will you receive me? And of course, that is a giant yes from God. And all in all, it says to purify for himself a people for his own possession. That's you. You're right there in the scriptures, right? A people for his own possession. That's us together, his church. We belong to God. We are his people who are zealous, eager, zealous. I like that word, zealous for good works. This idea of good works for God's people, it's really all over the book of Titus. Look at chapter 1, verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16 says that they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. And so there are people who talk with their lips about Christianity, about God, about salvation, but their lives say something different. There's an inconsistency there. And so good works, our works do matter. We also see this in chapter 2, verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Later on, we see this, like we said, just here in chapter 2, verse 14, who are zealous for good works. It shows up again in chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. We're to be ready for good works. It shows up again in verse 8 of chapter 3 that we would be, he says, Timothy, to insist on these things so that those who believe in God would be careful to devote themselves to good works. We're to be zealous and to be devoted to good works. One more time. In verse 14 at the end of the chapter, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. You see, we do not believe in a works salvation, but we do believe in a salvation that works. A salvation that we're saved from sin, but we're saved to good works. We are his masterpiece, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 say. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's our only hope. He is our only hope. But we're saved unto good works. God has good works for us to do. And so on that note, I want to hear and share together some opportunities that we've had this past summer for good works. Some good works that God has allowed us to participate in, some good works that we've seen God working in our lives and through our lives, and we're going to share that together. There's at least three aspects as a church body that we've been involved in together. Our youth ministry has been involved in a centrifuge, summer week of summer camp, where we had some spiritual growth opportunities, and so a couple of our youth are here, and we have several youth who are part of that week who are out. It's just summer, right? And so vacations and different activities and things. So we have several who are missing, unfortunately. So you won't get to hear maybe all those stories today, but we do have a video that we'll show in a minute about just kind of capture some of the week that we had together. We also had a team that we sent to Western Maryland. And they were part of a church that's called the Bruce Outreach Center. And so that team is going to share some good works that is going on. And they had opportunity to participate and that we as a body had opportunity to participate with. And then we also had a team that was at the Dominican Republic that was sent on mission to the Dominican Republic. And we'll be sharing about that as well. And so it's not just those few things, but it's very, at the very least, it's those three things. And hopefully if we have time, I'll stop talking. And there might be others of you that have things going on that you would like to share of the good works that God has, that you've been seeing together as a church body. Our testimonies are not just for you. It's, in other words, you're not the center of the testimony. God's the center of the testimony. To say God is doing this, and we want to give voice to it so that others can hear it, be encouraged by it, be strengthened in their faith by it, be challenged by that. And so don't be afraid to share a testimony this morning for God's glory. All right, so we'll start with our teens. So are there any teens that might want to share today? Alethea, yes or no? You don't want to? We got Ben. All right, Ben will do it. So Ben, tell us like one fun thing and something, and one thing that you learned, like a takeaway for you, spiritually speaking, from youth camp this summer.
All right. Something fun that happened that I remember was my brother's birthday. And so Pastor Dave, and we were put in two different rooms. I was with the older kids and was with the younger kids. So in the morning, we got up and went over to the younger kids' room, knocked on the door, and then went in, and then woke everybody up by singing happy birthday. And then I was... So that's fun. And then later on, the cafeteria, we were able to get the entire cafeteria to start singing happy birthday to him. I look so embarrassed.
Older brother.
But something I took away from this was when one of the lead singers of the band
got up to like share things he had been going through.
He was talking about how he and his wife
they'd been
together. He met their freshman year and they got
together, and they had happened to be, so they tried again, another miscarriage, a third time, which, so, you know, at this point, they were really sad, everything, but they kept the faith and everything. They believed God still had a plan for them, and so they tried again, and they had another kid. So, yeah.
So God is faithful, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you had that opportunity, and there was lots of things that you learned and grow. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Alethea has it, and she's not going to share. Some of you will have to go and ask her later on, okay? All right. So is there any other teens that I'm not? There's several out today. All right. We got a video of some pictures and kind of things that of our youth, some of the week, to kind of capture some of the week that they have, and we'll move forward. Thank you. So we had 14 of us, and I'm thankful for Tony and Lacey, who both dedicate their time that week to go with us and serve as well. All right, so now our mission team to Western Maryland would like to come up. And they have lots of pictures to share and some wonderful things to stories and stuff. Yes, there, I'll get this. You're welcome to come up, yep, if you'd like.
Okay, good morning. In early August, the Dantons, the Delps, and Ron and I had the privilege of ministering at the Bruce Outreach Center in Western Port, Maryland. There we are. Western Port sits in a beautiful part of the state in the Appalachian area, but where unfortunately there is lots of poverty, unemployment, and alcoholism. Do we see where the other way? Is there another picture? Another picture where, not that one. Okay. There's a picture. If you stand and look a certain direction from their church, it's just a beautiful view of the mountains. Beautiful part of the state. Bruce Outreach Center is led by Pastor Stephen Carr and his staff, and they minister in various ways to meet the pressing needs in their region while sharing the love of Christ. The takeaway I experienced was that BOC needs our prayers for Pastor Carr, his staff, and for the hurting people they seek to help. In a thank you note to our church, Pastor Carr expressed his thanks for our generosity providing school supplies. He calls it a real B12 shot to our spirits. In closing this note, he writes, "Thank you doesn't seem to be enough, but please know how much your friendship and partnership means to us. We pray God's richest blessings upon each of you." So now team member is going to share what they did and how God revealed himself through their experiences at BOC.
Good morning. I want to just share some things that happened before our trip. Several weeks before we went to Western Maryland, the six of us met, and Becky had talked with Pastor Stephen already to see what need they had, what we could do when we got there. And he mentioned that they had 150 backpacks that needed to be filled with school supplies. So we talked amongst ourselves, and we came up with a figure. We thought, well, if we could get $1,000, We could probably easily fill 50 bags. So that was sort of our goal. Well, one thing I learned, don't ever put limits on God. Never. Because when we asked the church for donations, you all were gracious, and you all gave $1,585 for us to buy school supplies with. Okay. So that was terrific. Well, we got up there and we went to Walmart and we bought supplies, carts of supplies. And the next day we went back because there was still money left. It was sort of like feeding the 5,000. You know, we just kept having some more money to spend. So we did that. And we did that. And we did that. And when we were finished, we spent $1,584.92.
Okay, so here are the bags that Bruce Outreach Center gave us to fill. Okay, we didn't have to buy these. They gave us these. They came in four colors, which we kind of color-coded according to grade level. K-2, 3-5, 6-8, and then 9-12. And we had to purchase the supplies according to that grade level. Well, that was interesting in itself because I think Fred is still having nightmares about, are we buying wide-ruled paper or college-ruled paper? So, anyway, we did purchase all those supplies to Walmarts. Twice we went to Kaiser, West Virginia. They ran out of supplies. So the third day we went to Oakland, Maryland, and a couple of Dollar Trees, and we purchased 150 school bags were filled with the money that you donated. So we were wonderful. So after purchasing all this and several carloads later, we had to take them back to Bruce Outreach Center. We set up in a classroom, big, long tables full of supplies, and then we had an assembly line, and we filled all of the backpacks. About 2 weeks ago, they had a basketball camp, and about 149 or 150 children participated, and each child got a backpack for school. So that's where your those backpacks went, to the basketball camp. And also, the children that attend the basketball camp are usually from Westernport and nearby Luke and across the river from Piedmont, West Virginia, which are all, most of these children are from needy families. So your generous donations are greatly appreciated in that you've filled 150 backpacks for children. So I think Sharon's... Well, yes, they were. They were wonderful. Yes, it was. And the cashiers were great, too. I mean, having to, you know, they took our word for it because we had written down on paper how much, you know, how many pencils we bought, how many glue sticks we bought. And they didn't want to count them all, of course. So they just took Bob's word for it and Fred's word for it. And, you know, that's how we rang up. So it was interesting. We had a lot of fun. We had, as you can see from pictures, we had a lot of laughs. So anyway, okay. I think it's.
No.
I think you're up next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong.
I'm sorry.
One of the things you see there is just some pictures and slides having to do with a feeding program. Bruce Outreach Center, along with some other partner churches in the area, take care of feeding during the summer. If you're familiar with some of the school systems, they have meal assistance programs during the school year for those that are not able to afford that. So during the summer months, that program is not operational, which means that some of those youngsters that participate may or may not have anything to eat over the summer. And so Bruce Outreach Center partnered with some other churches, and so made sandwiches, prepared meals, and then distributed those meals during the summer. So we were able to participate in that, in preparing meals, putting sandwiches together. I never knew you could whisk jelly, but you can do that. And some of these folks on this team are masters at making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Well, we went out to distribute the food, and the youngsters would come to a certain distribution point where they would get the meal. The thing that God reminded me about and taught me about in that process was just a reminder about compassion. Sometimes when these youngsters come to get their meals, I would say particularly if they're pre-adolescent, maybe getting a little older, I was raised close to poverty. I was raised in near poverty. I know what it's like not to have stuff. And I know that when you get a certain age, you kind of know that. You know what your circumstances are. And there's a tendency to almost be ashamed of it. And so I related with that from when I was a kid. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of the compassion of other people. So I think God just renewed in me the zeal for compassion. When we hand out meals, when we do those kind of things, we're not doing God a favor. He's doing an abundance of teaching to us, and he's letting us participate in his show of compassion. So that's what God taught me.
Fred and I had the opportunity to go to a local nursing home where we led a Bible study and we sang old hymns with 12 to 14 people. And we were so blessed to be there, and they just blessed us mightily. And they really know their Bible, and they really like to sing. We really were not able, for obvious reasons, to take photos inside the nursing home or anything like that. So after about an hour, and we had finished our Bible study and were finishing up our singing, so God always, we just have to be ready and prepared for the unexpected. And a couple of words the pastor said this morning, be ready, urgent need, and be fruitful. So a nurse came and told Fred and I that they had a resident who would be leaving soon to glory to meet the Lord. They had called a pastor to come, and the pastor, they had no idea when the pastor was going to be there. And they were wondering if we could go and minister to the family and to this man named Roger. So we said, of course, we would be happy to do that. So we did. They took us to his room. His sisters were there. They were not sure whether he was saved or not. So we were able to really bring the salvation message. We spoke words of comfort that God always gives to us at these times. We prayed, ministered with the family, and we knew the peace of God was on and in that place because the peace of God was very present upon this man named Roger. So never think that you are not a minister or that you cannot do something or you're not prepared to do something when God calls you to do it. Because if you're called to do it, God knows that you can do it. So we just have to step out in faith. So that really impacted me tremendously, as well as all the other things that we were able to do while we were there.
Sometimes we don't coordinate very well, husband and wife, so I'm going to say some of the similar things. But we're at Marin Manor Nursing Home. It's really great. Pastor Jack comes and gives a message each week. Pastor Jack was unavailable, so I put together a message from the 1 Timothy 5 about widows, elders, and slaves. But since I knew it was mostly widows, I thought it would be a great time with all these widows. We had 12 ladies and one man. So it worked out real well where we talked about the proper recognition of widows. And these ladies would speak up, too, that they were getting proper recognition for their sons, daughters, things like that as widows. So that was a very nice time. Then Donna led us in many of the hymns, but we were singing hymns, and we didn't have to pick them out. They knew them. They brought the sing this one, sing this one. And they all knew the words. And it was really a fun time singing many hymns that Donna led us in at that time. Then, as you said, we met with Roger, who was dying of mouth cancer and all his face. He was in very bad shape, just curled up in a little blanket on his bed. He was very frail, skin and bones. And the two sisters that were there with them, we got to pray with them first, and we prayed with him. And Psalm 23, went over that with him, prayed for his soul, and he would accept Jesus. It was just something that I've never had a chance to do for Donna, neither one of us. And what I'm reminded of, what I learned is, like just she just said, be prepared to know the word. And as it says in Timothy 4:5, preach the word in season and out of season. And it was sort of an out of season thing. We were just called over to that room down the hall, sort of an out of season moment. But it was a real blessing for us to be able to do that for the family and Roger and hugs and kisses after. So what I learned from all this is to be ready at all times, just as Donna said also. And throughout the whole thing, I learned more about just practicing the fruits of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, all of those when you're on a mission trip where there's so many different things going on with people in a depressed area. We're so blessed here compared to an area like that. So it was just a beautiful and wonderful experience.
Just as a close on this part of our program, I would just ask you to keep the Bruce Outreach Center in your prayers and Pastor Stephan and the staff there as they minister to the people in that area. They have a clothing ministry. They have a feeding program. They have a ministry to bikers. They are in the process of getting some apartments ready to move a couple families into that want to get out of poverty, that want to get off of welfare. And it's going to be very structured. You know, these people are going to have to go to church. They're going to, you know, there will be no drugs or alcohol allowed, of course. And, you know, they want to teach them budgeting and obviously lead them to the Lord. But that's quite a, I see that as quite an undertaking and quite a ministry to get some of these people out of the poverty cycle that they're in. So I would just ask you for your prayers, and also pray if maybe you would like to go next summer up to Westernport. It is a beautiful part of the state. The people are very kind and loving. Pastor Stefan loved on us the whole time. There was a youth group there from Alabama. We helped some of the meal preparation we did with them. They were a good group. We got them in the morning before they got too rambunctious. And so they were making sandwiches with their eyes barely open, I think. But a good group of young people from Alabama, and we got to minister alongside them. So I would just ask you to maybe next year you would like to go. Not all of us can go overseas like Pastor Dave and some others did, but we can, I think, go with it. If you can, possibly health-wise and all, go within the state. So just pray about your involvement. And I thank you again for your generosity in filling the book bags. I know the kids, I don't think they'll lack for anything all school year. So we thank you so much for that.
Good. Could we field maybe one or two questions from anybody? We already had one, but is there any questions? Maybe one or two questions from the group about West Virginia. What was your where did you stay?
In a local motel.
Okay. So they stayed at a local motel. So. Questions? All right. Yeah.
You might have just seen a few pictures of a paper mill, a plant called Luke. It's in the little town of Luke, Maryland. They closed their doors the end of June after many, many years. So 131 years, they closed their doors this June. So a lot of the people in these nearby towns have lost their jobs. So they're very impoverished anyway, and this is just making it worse. Mm. So a couple of the pictures you're seeing are of the plant, and then it has Luke Mill Strong signs all over the town, and people are wearing shirts. So they need to be kept in your prayers, too.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I would like to have, we were talking over the
Facebook
Messenger about Facebook Live, and I would like to have, we were talking over before about how it was purchased, and I think the congregation might be interested in how this plant was purchased.
The school.
The school. I'll try this very quickly. Okay, there's a high school in the town of Westernport. It was very old. It wasn't being used anymore. Pastor Stephan's congregation approached him one day and said, you preach to us about faith all the time. Let's see some faith, and let's see if we can buy this school. So Pastor Stephan said, well, I'll go down to the Board of Education with a ridiculously low figure in mind and see what happens. He offered $50,000 for the school. 3 days later, the Board of Education contacted him and said, the school is yours. Okay? Right after that, Pastor Stephan received a check for $100,000 from a woman in Louisiana. She was on their website. She said, God told me to write you a check. I don't want any recognition. I don't want my name on a plaque. I don't want anything like that. Just God told me to do this, so he did it. So not only did they get the $50,000 paid for, but they had $50,000 to put towards fixing up the school, which needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're utilizing all the school, the gymnasium, the auditorium, classrooms. They're really doing a great job of helping the people in the community.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know our time is quick, but I just wanted to say, and this is very sad because, yes, it does need a lot of work, and it still continues to need a lot of work. And when we got there, they were trying to put on a new roof. Well, it had been raining, and we were going inside, and they are in there trying to mop up all of the water because they have an open roof. They did not have the money or the resources to put this new roof on. So people are mopping up water and this kind of thing. So it just touched our hearts so much. And there is so much need going on. And I would just like to say quickly, Miss Bev, being a retired teacher now, did an awesome job of organizing us for Walmart. And we had fun. And what was really needed to go in those backpacks, that was just so helpful. And Becky did a great job of organizing what we would be doing once we got up there with because we all did not stay together, obviously, the whole time. We were together a lot, but not the whole time. So we look forward to going back next year, taking a larger group, doing more things. So thank you, church, for sending us, because our church did make an impact, and especially with those peanut butter sandwiches, while we were up there. They got their protein. You can be assured of that.
Awesome. Thanks. We had one more group that went to Dominican Republic, and I'm the only one who's here today, and so sorry about that, but I do have some pictures and just a few things to share with you. So we had four from Severna Park go, and then we had five from Life Connection Church. And so one of the things about mission experiences is that it's good to not do mission experiences alone. And so whether you're Jesus sent out the two by, you know, sent the disciples out by twos, or you are partnered up with somebody, that's always a positive way to do mission experiences. And so I'm thankful for our relationship and our connection to Pastor Marty Bennett in Odenton with his church, Life Connection Church. And so our church has been going on mission trips for over 5 years now. And so previously we're going to Nicaragua, and this is our first year to Dominican. Could you hit the next slide? We had Christy Benning and Danny Rodriguez and her daughter Leah who went. We stayed at a guest house that's kind of like a townhouse behind us. The top two rows were the guest house that we stayed in. You can kind of see a picture on the right of the top of the one portion of the guest house and on the bottom level as well, kind of an open floor, just kind of so you can kind of see kind of what our accommodations were. You can hit the next slide. And when we went to Dominican, we didn't just go kind of on our own. So we were connected to an organization that's kind of already there in country called the Del Camino Connection. Del Camino is the way. And they got that from the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, they said that the early Christians, followers of Christ, they called them people of the way, because that's what Jesus said he was. And so that's what Del Camino is. And so Del Camino Connection is an organization that kind of networks multiple Christian churches for gospel ministry. And so we are partnered with them. The guy on the left, his name is Tom. He was the main coordinator that we were working with. But all week long, we interacted with multiple persons, whether they were part of the Del Camino Connection or another organization or another pastor. All week long, we were meeting different pastors just to come in and get to know us and us to get to know them and about ministry in the Dominican. So that was a really neat thing. You can see in the middle picture is one of the pastors that we met. We were able to bless him with many of the dresses that many of you ladies have sewed and put together. And that's what's kind of in the middle of our gathering in the floor there. It looks like trash bags, but in those trash bags are dresses and T-shirts. And so that was a wonderful blessing that we could share together. The guy on the right, his name is Pastor Carlos. And again, he was just kind of another network kind of guy. And so we were partnered with something called the Del Camino Connection. Next slide. So this trip for Dominican was a little bit different than the previous trips to Nicaragua, where in Nicaragua we would much of our ministry was rural, and we would go into two villages every single day. And so you're only in one village just for a brief stint, and then you kind of moved on. This trip was different because we only partnered with two churches there, and we were able to build relationships with people over several days. And so the first church that we partnered with was Iglesia Christian Community, and on the bottom picture on the left, the guy on the right, his name is Pastor Raphael, and he's the main pastor at that church. And then the picture on the right was when we first got into, when we first visited that church, there was a group of people there, and we got to just interact with them. And so one of the things that Dominican, the culture of Dominican Republic is very tied relationally. And so we spent several hours just talking, just like getting to know them, their ministry, about their families. And then they would ask us about our ministry and us, who we are, and our families. And for several of us who are Americans, we're like, okay, let's get to work. Like, what are we supposed to do, right? And they just wanted to genuinely get to know us. And they, the idea is, and it's part of their culture, is we can't do business together, we can't do work together, we can't do mission together, until we become friends, until we know some things about each other. And so we spent several hours just going around the room and learning together about each other. You could hit the next slide. And so two people that we met, Iglesia Christian Community also has a school. Both the churches that we interacted with had a school. And the person on the left, her name is Ruth. She was the principal. She's also the pastor's wife. And so they started a school. The person on the right, her name is Claudinette. She is kind of like the vice principal, and she's a teacher as well. And she had a real heart for children with learning disabilities and special needs. And that was kind of her passion previously before coming to this school. And she thought, okay, God, you're sending me to this school. I'm going to work at this school. But I really have a passion to work with children who have learning disabilities. And so I guess I'll just be here for a time, and then I'll go on and move on to work with, you know, find another place later on to work with children with learning disabilities. And sure enough, there were some families that came into the school that had some learning disabilities. And a lot of times in a third world country and in that sort of culture, those families are dismissed. They're not really educated. They're not really cared for. And so when they came across this church and asked if they would, you know, educate, put this child in their school, she welcomed them with open arms. So much so that even some of the other teachers, with the church, said, I'm not equipped for this and I can't do this. Claudinette, it was kind of her passion and her encouragement to say, we'll give it a try. We'll work this together and we'll see how this works. And so long story short, over the course of many years, this church has now a school that specializes in ministering to children with learning disabilities. I could tell you a lot of more stories about that, but all in all, it's one of the ways that I think that our church in the future could consider some partnerships together, because the other thing about, and I heard this from Ron, is that, you know, when you're on these mission journeys, sometimes you think that you're the one who's giving, and then you always come away with things that you get back. And so when we do mission trips, we don't go as superiors, we go as learners. And so there's things that we learn. And I think that there's things that we could learn. There's a lot of teachers in our congregation that we could learn about how they work with children with special needs. And there's things that we could take back and apply right here in our own community and context together. And so that's just a snippet about that. You get the next slide. That's the outside of their church building. Their church building is kind of on the left. It's like a second building off on the left. And then about two buildings over, kind of the far building on this picture, is another building that they purchased, that they were able to purchase pretty recently here, because their church is growing. Their church is kind of in a is like an old movie theater that they purchased. That's where they meet in their main sanctuary. And then they have another portion of the building that is renovated for a school. And then they have another portion that's kind of an open parking area that they've made into kind of like a homeless outreach ministry. And it's just, they use kind of every portion of their building for all kinds of ministry and outreach there in the community. Next slide. And so a lot of things we did was not just, excuse me. not just learning together, but we did do some projects. And so we did some paint. We did lots and lots of painting and some other projects in the building inside. And there was a homeless outreach that we participated in together. You can hit the next slide. So this is some pictures that are inside this other new building that they purchased. And as you can see, there's a lot of destruction inside. And some of it is just the age of the buildings. Santo Domingo is the first city of the Americas. And so it's where Christopher Columbus came and landed first. And so there's kind of a lot of history there to the city. And so a lot of the buildings that they have are very old and they're in disrepair. But that also means is that whenever you want to try to repair some of the buildings, there has to go through a long and terrible and kind of also corrupt permit and process with the government. And so they're going through a process and having a difficult time to renovate. But they're also going by faith in similar ways of just through the way that God is providing financial means as well as different things on the timing and the way that they're building their building to do ministry in the community. You can hit the next slide. And so this is a picture of just kind of our last kind of like day four with them. We bonded incredibly. It's kind of like one of these things. It's like you meet somebody and it's like you just instantly gravitate towards one another. You just have just some neat connections and relationships and conversations over the course of a short amount of time. And we experienced that at Iglesia Christian Community and really bonded so much so that when we were leaving that church to go to the next church, long story short, we just had this emotional bonding experience with ICC. And it was like so kind of like gut-wrenching, emotional kind of thing, experience, that when we were going to the next church, we said, all right, we're not going to tell anybody our names. We're not going to like have any conversations with people, because it was so emotional leaving this church that we had just spent time with just over for a few days together. Next slide. And so this was the next church that we participated with. It was called New Life, Nueva Vida Christian Church. They also have a school. You can see a picture of their building there. And on top of their building is like an open roof. And on top of their building is a basketball court that they're kind of making there. When we got to the church, we were welcomed with these two welcome lines that we had to kind of walk through that were kind of like a train of lines. And they were cheering loudly and clapping and taking pictures of us. We felt like we were on Hollywood or something, but we're just like, who are we? You know, it's like what is this? But the hospitality was so, so very rich from this church. In fact, you can see that there's multiple tables there that people are sitting around the table. And there was lots of people who were sitting around the table. Then there were also people who were sitting behind them in rows. And then we were sitting where the picture angle is. Our group was sitting on the other end of the table. And so we get in there and we just walked in, just met these people, and they want to play this name game. And so it was like, it would say, okay, my name is Dave. And then we'd go to the next person. And Tony would say, okay, Dave, and my name is Tony. And then it would go on to Kevin. Kevin would say, okay, Dave, Tony, and my name is Kevin, and you get the idea. And so it went all the way around the room, all the way around, all these people. And, of course, I'm sitting on the angle here. So I was the first one in our group. And so the person who's the first person in the picture on the left there, she went first, and then I went. So I thought, okay, I'm good. I'm number two. So even if it goes around, she might have to do it again. But I should be good. And of course, it goes all the way around the room, gets to her, and she has to do it again, even though she was number one. But then they said, now you have to do it. And I tried to just kind of laugh it off and just said, mi familia, like my family, like thinking that that would be good and just kind of be like a sense of humor. And it got the joke. Everybody laughed, but then they kind of were chanting something. And I didn't know what they were chanting. And my translator, who's also on my left, she said, "You have to do it." And so I had to name all the names. So it was really fun. We worked through it. Next slide. We did some projects there as well. We were renovating some chairs, and some of the chairs that they had were ripped and old. And so we're taking apart chairs, and we also did some more painting. We loved painting. There's lots of stories about that. And so it was good to be able to do some of that. They're in about to, you know, have school session as well. Just here on the 26th is when their students come back to school. And so it was really a blessing for us to provide hands and labor for their church to get their schools kind of ready together for their next school year here. Next slide. They also have a gym in their school. Again, long story behind that, but they have all kinds of gym equipment that they use as an outreach to mostly a lot of men in the community, which is often a missing element in churches. They also have a watering, filtering kind of business where they filter water. Of course, you cannot drink the water in Dominican, and so they have these, you know, water jugs that they're constantly doing. So they have a store business that actually does that and makes some money to do that at a lower discount cost for people. It's a way of ministry and opportunity that they have to connect with their community. And they also turn some of that water that they use in the filtering process. Somebody has come along who's able to use that water that was filtered out, that would have been kind of just excess, has now created that into an additional business and income for like shampoos and conditioners and lotions and kind of a whole line of products, basically, that they have a store that sells that. And so, again, it's another opportunity connection that they have in their community. Next slide. We also did a children's outreach there, lots and lots of children. And so we did Bible story and did some games and singing times as well. And that was good. Next slide. And last, and so we did have a beach day in the Dominican Republic. And so obviously, you know, kind of if you look at just like the, you know, these big palm trees and you look at the water and, you know, the tints of blue, it's like that looks beautiful. But if you look closely in the picture, all those like umbrellas and tables and things, they're like kind of like old used blankets or old used tarps that are like got rips and tears in them. And there's like old rusty rebar that is used to make these tents all over there in the and along the beach and things. And so, you know, from a surface, if you just glance at a picture, you would say, oh, that's beautiful. I want a vacation in Dominican. But if you really look closely at the picture, if you really look closely, I think, at the communities and the country, there is a lot of brokenness. There is a lot of poverty that's there. And there is also corruption in their government and different things like that. And so there's lots of ministry that needs to be done there. And certainly we are praying about what that might look like for us over whether next year we send a team, another team, and that sort of thing. At this moment, we don't have anything scheduled, and we're literally praying and seeking, God, how would you use us? Is this something we should consider as a long-term relationship and mission opportunity? And so be praying about that for us as well. So all in all, these are a few stories that you've heard today. And to be honest with you, we're a little bit out of time. And so we don't have time to kind of open up the floor for others. And my apologies for that. But that means God is at work in and around us. And so continue to share those stories. Continue to talk about that in your small group. Continue to have these conversations together, because it is a great big encouragement to all of us of how God is working in and through our church. And as you hear these stories, there might be other persons that you can say, oh, this person might be good. You might need to talk to so-and-so, because I hear the way that God is working and you two don't know each other and you can make connections that way. Or you might do that for yourself. You would say, I have these gifts and these opportunities And so I don't know, God, how you're going to use me. And next thing you know, somebody's sharing the testimony. And then you say, ah, here's a way that I can get plugged in and serve the Lord together. And so testimonies are great opportunities for us to hear about God's work. And you don't get a testimony unless you go through a test. You don't get a testimony unless you step out of your comfort zone. And so I hear this from Christians a lot is, well, I don't have a testimony. Well, step out in faith somewhere, right? Step out in faith and let God use you. And that's how you get a testimony. I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing one final song just as a kind of closing celebration for our church today. And if the Lord is putting something on your heart and something you want to pray about, I'd be glad to pray with you this morning. Also be at the back at the end of our service. But if our worship team will come forward, please, and we'll close out with our last song together. Father God, it's with joy that we've been able to share together these reports. We're so thankful, God, that you use us. God, who are we? But your servants and your children. And we're your children, God, who are received by grace. We're your children who are received by grace, God, that has your Holy Spirit. And because of that, God, we do have power. Because of that, we can go and we can share and be salt and light in the world around us. And so, God, I pray that you continue to do that in us and through us, in our neighborhoods, and that we don't have to go across over the seas, but maybe we just go across the street or we find our local school and find ways that we can serve. God, prick our hearts and motivate us to see people as you see them and move us to that compassion that Brother Ron spoke about. God, compassion for the people around us, and that our heart would beat where your heart beats, and to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. God, we glorify you during the service. In Jesus' name, amen.